I'm Jay, I'm an alcoholic. Thanks everybody for being here tonight, and thanks Paul for asking me to speak. I appreciate it. And, this is the best two steps for me to speak on, no question, because I guess the whole process had a huge impact on my life. But when I think about, like, you know, where did I have, like, a real spiritual experience and, like, have those feelings that you hear in this meeting of, like, feeling like you're flying, you know? I got that out of the ninth steps, you know, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, you know, like I'll never forget some of the experiences I had with making amends. My experience with 8 and 9 obviously started after 6 and 7. I realized that I had a lot of work still to do after 6 and 7, and I definitely wasn't perfect. I still had character defects and had issues and had to keep working. And that was okay with me. I was ready to do the work. I mean, I was excited to keep moving on. When I wrote my fourth step, I didn't think I was ever going to finish. You know, like, it, in hindsight, it didn't take me that long. I mean, it took me a year. But I didn't, when I started my turnarounds, I was like, this is it. I'll never finish this. So, might as well give up. And thank God I didn't. You know, thank God I had a sponsor that kept pushing me because I didn't give up. So by the time I got to 8 and 9, I was definitely a different person than I was when I started my fourth step. You know, I remember when I was writing my fourth step, specifically like thinking about the amends process and like a couple of the specific amends that I'll talk about in a little bit. And, you know, saying to my sponsor when I was writing my fourth, like, I'm never going to go see that guy. Like, might as well not even. Let's just take that off the table right now. You know, like, this one guy, yeah, I'm not going. Like, forget about it. It's never happening, you know? And I wasn't even bullshitting, you know? I was pretty, you know, I was pretty convinced that that was never going to happen. You know, thankfully, after I got through the fourth and the fifth, something changed in me. You know, because when it got to this point, I was definitely scared. No question, I had lots of fear. And I had to pray a lot to be able to go do some of these amends. But, like, something just kept me going, you know? Like, I don't know what. You know, God, for sure. You know, peer pressure from this room. Everything. You know, the whole process. Just the realization that I had changed and I wanted to complete the process at that point. So I made my list. I made my my 8-step list. I went through all of the names of people that it was clear that I had to make amends to, and talked about them with my sponsor, you know, looked at what I had done and talked about the individual scenarios with my sponsor before I made the amends. You know, I started with my family. That was the direction I was given. And, you know, it was pretty interesting for me. Like, I have little kids, you know. They still do. They're still little. But, so my first amends was to, like, a 5-year-old, you know. Like, I'll tell you, I was jammed up about it. Like, stressed out. Like, what am I going to say? What is she going to say? You know, so I did it, like, off the, I didn't make an appointment, you know. I just did it. I did it off the cuff, like, in the bathroom. I was like, hey, Caitlin, you know, I'm sorry for the way that I've treated you in the past. And I didn't go through the whole rigmarole of, you know, I won't get over alcohol. You know, I was just like, Caitlin, I'm sorry, you know. I haven't treated you great a lot of times, and I'm sorry. And God willing, I won't be that way again. And she just was like, okay, Daddy, no problem. And took off running, you know. And I was like, oh, I dodged a bullet, you know. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I don't remember making amends to my other two daughters, but that one scenario, like that one, like, couple minutes in my life, I'll never forget that. I remember making amends to my wife. Now, I remember, like, my first week sober, Dennis was helping me out when I first got sober, and, you know, I was talking to him, and I remember being like, I got to make amends to my wife right now. She's going to divorce me, you know? Like, what do I do? Where do I, you know, like, come on, tell me what to do. I got, you know, fortunately, like, I wasn't, because God knows what I would have said, you know? And, you know, I was instructed to, like, leave that one alone for a little bit and wait till, you know, you're, and I made amends to my wife, and, you know, it wasn't bad. It was pretty easy, you know? It was heartfelt. I cried, she cried, you know? And, it you know, did what it was supposed to do. You know, nothing was perfect in our relationship after that moment by any stretch of the means, but, you know, I'll never forget that one too. You know, luckily for me, I have a recovering alcoholic father and a recovering alcoholic brother. And so those amends were kind of easy for me, you know, like they knew what I was doing. My dad knew what I was doing. It was, you know, he was more proud of me when I made amends to my dad than I was at, he probably got more out of it than I did in that one, you know, with my brother, you know, I had tried to kill him. He had tried to kill me, you know, multiple times. He had already made amends to me. So it was also similar to my dad, just an easier process. With my mom, you know, like I said, this is my experience. So I'll tell you about them. With my mom, I kind of made an appointment. I said, "Mom, we went to church a lot together." I said, "Mom, when we drive home from church today, I have something I need to talk to you about." So we went to church. I think the kids were in the back seat; they weren't paying attention. And I said, I said my piece. I said, "Mom, I have a problem with alcohol, and I'm sorry for these things. I'm sorry for..." And I went through some of the specifics with her, things I had done. You know, I mean, it was tough when I was a kid. My dad, like, really screwed our family up with alcohol. So I took advantage of that when I was a kid, you know, when I was in high school, that situation. So I had things I really needed to say to her, like things that I had done horribly that I needed to apologize for. And I said them all, and it wasn't like lengthy. It was very to the point. I talked to my sponsor. We had a plan. It was very concise. This is what I'm saying. Da da da. You know, God willing, it won't happen again. And she looked at me, and I'll never forget. And some of you guys might know this from me sharing before. And she's like, "Geez, Jay, you know, your brother. He wrote me this nice letter." You know, I was like, "Excuse me?" You know? He wrote me this beautiful letter. I said, "Oh, goddamn, Joe." You know, and I had an immediate resentment against my brother again, you know. So then I moved on. You know, that was my experience with my family. And then I moved on to some of the ones that those were, in hindsight, pretty easy. I don't even think I was really jammed up, other than a little bit nervous about my 5-year-old daughter. I wasn't really nervous about any of those. But there were some ones. Now I had to make, like, real amends, like go out into the world and, like, talk to people that, A, didn't want to talk to me, and B, had no idea what the hell I wanted, you know? And those were tough. I mean, the whole making appointments thing, I had anxiety and fear about that, you know? Like, what am I going to say to this guy? What is he thinking? What's he thinking? I'm going to hit him up for money, you know, all this stuff. But that's what I was told to do, so that's what I did. You know, I made appointments. I knocked a couple of the... not easy ones off, but ones that I wasn't as jammed up about. People that I had, a lot of character assassination, you know, a lot of people I had assassinated their characters behind their back. And, you know, luckily, there was more to talk about than just that in most of the situations. You know, I had also done other things, embarrassed them or, you know, been rude. And I made the first amends to a guy that I worked with, not directly worked with, but was in my business. And, you know, I was a little jammed up about it, and I got it over with right off the bat, and God willing, it won't happen again. And he's like, "All right, we're good. Let's hop in the golf cart and go for a ride," you know? And we went around the golf course and, you know, looked at stuff, and that was it. That was the end of it. And to this day, our relationship, I had no relationship with this guy before. I had completely embarrassed him in front of a number of people, you know, big group of bunch of guys. I had totally hammered this guy and publicly annihilated him, and our relationship was done. And after that day, I mean, my experience, it's definitely not everyone's experience as you're here tonight, but like this guy and I, we have a pretty good relationship. Like that one moment changed it, you know, like I apologized and he realized. I mean, I think he knew I was, you know, shit-faced when I was being an a-hole, and I think he probably had a little bit of an idea that I had a problem with alcohol. So, but it's different now for sure. So, you know, from there, I made a couple other amends. Like, there's some amends too where I had to make amends to somebody. Like an example, this was, and you hear it in the reading tonight. Like there's this woman that I work with. She works for me. I'm her boss, and I character assassinate this lady like crazy for years to anybody. I mean, I couldn't stand her. Anytime she turned around, I was doing what I shouldn't have been doing and saying what I shouldn't have been saying. And I owed this lady amends. But I sat down with Paul and we talked about it, and I wasn't able to make that amends to her. I never did. And the reason why is this woman was so sensitive, and she's such a sensitive person that, like, she didn't know that I said any of those things about her. She had no idea. And if I, like, sat down with this woman and told her about the character assassination and what I had said about her and some of those things, it would have destroyed her, you know? And it was an amends that I thought, like, I have to do. Like, I got to get this off my chest. I've been horrible to this person. Like, I got to tell her, and then I'll be free, and da, da, da. But I never made that amends because this woman couldn't handle it. You know, she had a lot going on in her life with her kids and issues. And the last thing she needed to hear was that her boss hated her and was making fun of her behind her back, you know. So I never made that one. And that, you heard about that in the reading tonight. And for me, that was a case-by-case situation, you know, looking at those. The hardest one that I made, the one that I got the most out of, was the one that I started talking about with my sponsor in the fourth step. You know, this guy, he was like my mentor, you know. He had done everything for me. He, like, wrote, when I got the job I'm in now, he, like, wrote my resume, got me the interview, you know, like, did everything for me. He was my mentor of my profession, and I was stealing from him, you know, and he never knew. And he never knew, like, I, like, left that job and started my new job, and 10 years later, and he never knew, you know, and I was really successful at my new job, and, you know, he'd, like, you know, own a piece of that and talk to people about it and, like, own a piece of, like, what he had done for me. And I had this, like, I had stolen from him, you know? And I knew that, like, I had to go do something. But that was the one where I was like, this guy thinks so much of me, like, I don't want to ever change that, you know? Like, I got away with it, you know? Like, I got away with it. Why break eggs, you know? And so in my fourth step, I had no intention of ever going to see this guy. And by the time I got through my, you know, eighth step and halfway through my ninth step or towards the end of my ninth step, you know, I was ready, and I was, like, jammed up. I work up in Hingham, and this guy was out in Falmouth, and I made an appointment, and I had to drive from Hingham to Falmouth to go meet him, and I was like, man, I the knot in my stomach, like, how, what is this guy going to say? You know, I don't know. I was just completely a mess, and I went, and I walked in, and I sat down in his office, and I made the amends, and, you know, told him, went through the rigmarole, told him what I had done, and he was like, you know, it's okay, Jay, you know, whatever, like, I forgive you. And then real very quickly turned the tail and was like, you know, I didn't know that you had a problem with alcohol, but, you know, like, I have questions about it because my son is a heroin addict, and, like, I'm trying to help him get sober right now, and I don't know what to do, you know. And we spent probably half an hour talking about the program and different stuff that I'd gone through and different stuff I knew. I don't know much about NA or anything, but just what I knew. I think he had been hiding that from a lot of people, and to be able to sit down with me and talk about it, like, freely, like, he, I don't know, it was pretty awesome. I tried to give him money, you know, he wouldn't take it. Paul was still probably would tell me today, I gotta get him the money, you know, and I probably do need to still get him the money. But I don't know, you know, that was a pretty awesome one. I walked out of there, and I had to drive. At the time, I was living in Sandwich, where I am now, and from Falmouth to Sandwich, like, I could have flown. I never once got a feeling like that through my fifth step, through anything. Like, I was like, holy Christ, like, this is, like, liberating. I don't, an unbelievable spiritual experience that I'll never forget. You know, that's 13 minutes. My goal is 12. So the rest of them were just as good. And, you know, not everyone was perfect. But, you know, for me, my experiences were pretty strong with them. They're some of the best memories I had through this whole process. And they were the thing I was the most jammed up about. So thanks for listening, guys. I look forward to hearing you.